Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Bay LA Podcast, your home for everything Warriors, Lakers, and news from around the association. I am Casey, alongside my co-host, Roman. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm excited. We had a good night.
We sure did. And we're about to get into that. But before we do, got to give the old message of, if you're tuning in right now, to please show some love. Give us a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, subscribe, comment, or anything, you know. We appreciate you guys for listening. And yeah, let's just get right into it. Warriors defeat the Celtics 118 to 112 on the road in Boston. Yeah, what a game that was.
Yeah, I mean, there's like throughout the week, even from the weekend, there was this kind of building pressure of like there's this road stretch coming for the Warriors. And yeah, play the Wizards, beat the Wizards. But then it's the Celtics. And right. Then it's the Cavs, and then the Thunder. But the Celtics game, a rematch. I mean, there's a whole narrative with Kerr and Tatum. Like, there was so much buildup and like excitement and tension for this game, and wow, did it pay off.
It sure did. And coming into this game, there's a few absences on both sides. The Warriors were without Brandon Podziemski. He subbed out of that Wizards game, not feeling well, and still not feeling well, can't play through it, so he did not play. D'Anthony Melton still dealing with a back issue. He'll be reevaluated tomorrow to see if he can play against the Cavaliers this weekend, I believe. But yeah, he's playing 3-on-3 right now, so they're, you know, taking it slow. And then for the Celtics, on the Celtics side, they're without Jaylen Brown, dealing with a left hip flexor strain, and then Kristaps Porzingis with a foot injury. The team is aiming for him to return in December. But yeah, I mean, the last time the Warriors played at the Garden, it was such a blowout. It was on March 3rd, and they were blown out 88 to 140. So it's good to put that behind them. And then, of course, like, you know, the 2022 finals. But both teams have changed a lot since then, even though there's still a lot of core pieces. Both teams have remodeled quite a bit. Warriors starting five tonight was Steph Curry, Moses Moody, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, Trayce Jackson-Davis, and the Celtics starting five is Drew Holiday, Derek White, Jason Tatum, Nemes Kida, and Al Horford. Derek White, in the absence of Jaylen Brown, was on absolute heater, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, he caught fire early, because I mean, he's just getting shots up, and they seem to want to get him kind of into that rhythm throughout the game, just keep getting him looks. But yeah, no, he's good. He's a great two-way player, and his presence was felt.
Especially when you pair him with Drew Holiday, like both those guys were just kind of hounding Steph, especially in that first half. First quarter, pretty rough. I think Derek White had all of the Celtics points, or at least most of them, for the majority of the quarter, it felt like. And then Warriors they're getting good shots. They just weren't falling. It happens. Yeah. Then the bench comes in, you know, Buddy Hield comes in, kind of takes the lid off the basket. And then we start playing basketball. Defensive game.
It's a what?
It was a very defensive game, I would say.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was a physical game. There was kind of a, I don't know. There might not be like true animosity between these teams, but there's definitely like an agreed upon, like, oh, we're going to give each other our best. Like we're going to play you right now. And I mean, I felt that with Wiggins, honestly. He played very, very good defense throughout the game. Like he was a presence, especially his matchup on Tatum, his rebounding. I mean, his offense was not really there, but I feel like we still had that like engaged, energized Wiggins. Yeah. Like he was putting forth effort and energy on both sides of the floor. And that was incredibly important.
Absolutely. He definitely is playing. I mean, I feel like this whole season, like playing with an intensity and just more aggression than we're used to that we're used to seeing. Oh,
what's up, boys?
Hey,
he made it,
Austin.
I just got done doing a separate little 10-minute segment for the Lakers stuff. I just wanted to take my bad energy and put it into that before I came to celebrate with you guys.
Welcome. Welcome in.
Yeah, man.
We're just getting started here.
Yeah,
we're talking about Andrew Wiggins right now.
I've got about 7% battery, to be honest with you, so I'm going to stay for a little bit. This is your guys' thing. This is your guys' celebration. I'm sorry that I'm wearing a green hat right now. I feel terrible.
Oh wow. No, it's all good, right, man.
It's all good.
I was watching the game I had Lakers on my laptop, and then I had the Warriors game on the side of the phone, and I swear, like, with maybe like a minute and 15 left, it just felt like you guys had the game, so I just put it down. And then when we were texting, you guys pulled it, you guys were like, oh, it's still a close one. I was like, what the heck? And then I saw Draymond miss. I was like, oh my god, it's
it was a grinded out kind of game. Definitely kind of, dare I say, had like a playoff feel to it.
That's what it seemed like.
Yeah.
And I think like what you were just saying, Roman, that these two teams have this like maybe this unspoken agreement that when we play each other, we're going all out. And it was certainly a great game, and a game that I would have hated to lose.
Oh yeah. It's the bias in me for being a Warriors fan and having watched the final series, but man, do I just not like Boston. I just can't. And like having a Lakers fan with us present, like
I gave you guys a shout out on the other side. I was like, congrats, because it's F Boston always. So
yeah. 100%. But like I do have to tip my hat at them. They are a great team. And who surprised me the most this game was Nemias Kita.
He was going crazy every time I turned it back on to look at what was going on. He was grabbing boards, he was dunking on people.
He was dominating us there. That was
he's like the new Robert Williams.
Ooh,
healthy
kind Robert of Williams.
He definitely fits that role.
Yeah
for sure. No,
honestly, and I mean that kind of exposed one of the glaring weaknesses of the Warriors that I feel like we've covered before, of, you know, that kind of size and dominant presence in the paint. Because like Looney and TJD, they do have a lot of physicality to their game. They can kind of go through that like bump and grind and fight for balls. But like Kita was just on some other level tonight. He was everywhere. He was great. Yeah. I mean, he had a couple block shots that I can remember off the top of my head. But yeah, he played great. And that is a great fit for that team, because they, in the past, the Celtics have always kind of relied on that kind of presence for them in the interior. So that was interesting to note for the future matchups.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like this was my first time really getting a chance to watch them play. That team's going to be, I mean, they're nasty now, but when they get Porzingis back healthy.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Oof. Yeah.
But yeah, going back to talking about rebounding, I feel like that was a part of the game that kind of drove me crazy, was the amount of second chance points or second chance opportunities that the Celtics were getting. Just because, I mean, they shoot a lot of threes.
Yeah,
a lot of threes. I don't know how many threes they shot tonight, but they shoot a lot.
54.
54. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I sure believe it. And long shots make for long rebounds, and it just felt like when there was like a key moment in the game where it's like, oh, like the Warriors need to secure this rebound, like they gotta, like they could not allow another, you know, a Boston bucket here. Boston somehow found a way to get the ball, and it would end up going to, like, you know, like Peyton Pritchard. I remember hitting some big threes.
Yeah, Peyton Pritchard, man. He was knocking them down. He's one of those like him and Al Horford are just like old reliables for them, man.
Yeah, yeah. And Al Horford had a huge three like towards the end of the game, like seconds left in the fourth quarter. Like but you know, the Warriors were able to button up and take care of business, of course. I gotta say, like, that second half Steph Curry performance was quite incredible. He had let's put up the box score right here. Yeah, Steph Curry with a sneaky 27 points.
Sneaky 27. We like that.
Sneaky.
I gotta say, man, looking at it from the outside in, Warriors are for real. Warriors are for real. I feel good about your team, man. I feel good about your team.
I think it really helps that it's the depth, like the bench too. Like, because when the game started, like the starting lineup didn't really produce a lot of offense. And then, you know, you plug in Buddy Hield, and then he hits a shot. Jonathan Kuminga comes in off the bench. Which also, by the way, I feel like Jonathan Kuminga coming off the bench has been a really good role for him so far.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's been massive to just like give their offense a different kind of look and function that they can go to with that second unit, because it just gives them more versatility with what they can do.
100%. And Kyle Anderson, I feel like second quarter, he hit three threes in a row, gave the offense life.
Yeah. Yeah, that was necessary. That was greatly appreciated. I loved every single shot. I wasn't really expecting to see that. Wasn't on my bingo card, but
we saw it.
Yeah, I mean that just kind of speaks to the point you're making here, Casey. It's almost like we're seeing some strength with numbers, strength in numbers.
It sure feels like it. I mean, we are.
I know.
We're 8 games into the season right now, and I gotta say, I agree. I agree with the statement. Looking at the box score right now, there's a handful of guys in double figures, and there are a lot of guys that are, you know, with 9, 8 points. Like, everyone's chipping in and doing something, which before the season started, I think that's something that we all kind of agreed upon. Like, oh, like, what does this Warriors team need to do in order to be successful this season? Is everybody needs to do a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody stepping up to the plate right now.
Yeah. I mean, even Lindy Waters, who's kind of cooled off since his big coming out game where he lit up the box score, he's getting 14 minutes. Like, he's getting reliable contributor opportunities for this team. And I mean, like, yeah, we're down a few of our 1,000 guards that we have on this roster. So yeah, he's gonna see playing time. But I also don't feel like we lose anything with him on the court, because I know he's still a scoring threat. I honestly think he's a reliable ball handler, maybe not the best distributor, but he's not going to dribble it off his foot.
Yeah, he's not going to throw it away or turn it over.
Yeah,
I agree.
The ball's in safe hands. And I mean, also to that point, like, Kyle Anderson was having to take over ball handling, as well as Hield, because when Steph had to sit for a little bit, they needed someone else to kind of take the ball up and help run the offense with, I mean, yeah, if Steph isn't in, or if Draymond's sitting too, like they're having to rely on those guys a little bit more. And it was good to see that they were someone that we could trust with that and not throw away possession after possession.
Yeah. Especially in like a game like this, where every possession going down the stretch meant a lot.
Oh man.
Just seeing like the hustle plays from Gary Payton II and Kevon Looney, PJD, Draymond, like everybody's just, you know, laying it all out on the floor. And, you know, this is like season just started. This team's already playing with like that kind of intensity and energy.
Yeah. So there's
very, very nice to see.
There's a synergized focus to the team. Like, everyone is playing together with the same goal at all times. It's very rare when it feels like guys are not on the same page. And I mean, there was an awful turnover when Kuminga's trying to inbound the ball, and he passes it to Buddy Hield, who has his back to him, and it just bounces out. And then Hield gets a cheap foul on I think it might have been Pritchard or Hauser, one of those two guys. And that's just like, okay, guys, like what are we doing here? Like,
yeah,
make sure that you're making eye contact that you're trying to get the ball to, just inbounding. Like, I don't know, just small little mistakes like that can easily be cleaned up. But I mean, I'll take the win at a win.
Absolutely. And it's all, you know, it's all in the details too. I feel like their defense they played, especially on Jason Tatum, was really good. And granted, Tatum still had a good game. Like, he still, he does what he does, but they just threw a bunch of different looks at him, timely double teams. It's kind of like overall, like just kind of like making life hard for him.
I feel like Kerr threw that into the game plan specifically. Like, every now and then, we're just going to make Jason Tatum's life terrible. Like,
if I can't keep him on the bench, then I have to keep him out of the game some other way.
Exactly. Right as the game started, I was about like, I think I got like a notification from ESPN, like maybe like 15 minutes into your game, showing just like the amount of boos he was getting. I think it was a Bleacher Report thing or something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I was just like, oh my God. I was like, I know that Kerr is going to, if he wins, he's going to just love it. Absolutely love it. So I know you guys are, I know you guys wanted this one. This was I think we talked about it. This is like one of the games that we had circled on the calendar to try to get everybody on to watch.
It sure was. And these next, I mean, really, like, because they got two games left on this road trip. They'll go play Cleveland and then go play OKC on the road.
When's the Cleveland game?
That's Friday.
Friday.
That's going to be a good one.
That's
going to be a good one.
And then
you guys can do it, man.
Oh, I
don't know. They're big, man.
Oh, I'm so worried about the Cavs.
Yeah, they're interior press. I mean, we felt it. No pause. I mean, bro, they're why can't I think Evan Mobley and Jared Jackson, right? No,
Jared Allen, Isaac Okoro.
Yeah, those guys, bro, they're ridiculously good. Big. They're long. Yeah. Like, they're trees down there, man.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's going to have to be a big loony game for you guys and TJD. And, like, your shooters got to be going so that they can space the floor to open up the middle and get the shots up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm definitely – that's a game to watch for sure.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. And then, of course, the Thunder, which let's see how they're doing right now. Ooh. So the Thunder are in a close one right now against the Nuggets, 99-98.
Ooh, the Nuggets brought it back?
They brought it back. 11:20 left in the game. But as it stands right now, the Thunder are currently undefeated, and the Cavaliers are undefeated. They defeated the Pelicans, you know, not too long ago, like while we were setting up the show. But they beat the Pelicans 131-122.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, man, you guys absolutely crushed it tonight. I've got 2% battery. I'm going to get off of here. I just wanted to pop in real quick and say, go Warriors.
thanks for popping in.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Go Warriors. Yeah. All right. See you guys.
See ya.
How do I get out of here? Leave studio. There we go. See ya.
Peace.
Later. Always great hearing from our Laker guy, Austin Sexton.
Yeah. Glad he could make some time for us after a tough loss.
Got a moth in here.
Oh, whoa. I saw that. Oh, it's going after you, man. Don't like you.
Anyways, I'm going to leave it alone, and hopefully it leaves me alone. And we'll continue. But anyways. Yeah, going back to the Celtics game, who would be your player of the game if you had to choose one?
Oh, man.
A lot of good performances on the Warriors' end.
Player of the game.
Or it doesn't even have to be a player of the game. It could just be like who do you want to shout out?
Honestly, it's got to be Nemeas. Like, I...
like it.
It's not someone that I've really had a lot of knowledge or information on or really tracked through his short career thus far, but like he played extremely well, and I think he's going to be a piece for them to rely on heavily.
Yeah,
I haven't watched many Celtics games thus far this season, but I'd like to look into them now to see the type of play time that he's been getting and how much of an impact he's had on those games as well. Because yeah, I think it was put really well. Like it's kind of that Robert Williams type of comparison for right. how they're using him and. Honestly, just how he plays, his play style, it's very similar, and it's super effective for them.
Absolutely, and he put up 14 points, 6 of 11 shooting. That's really good. That's really solid numbers. And he wears number 88, which is probably a wide receiver number, but I love it.
And I'll just say, as a Warriors player of the game, it will be Kyle Anderson. Just yeah, because of three threes he made, and just like it, for that moment, it felt like it started to kind of swing the momentum yes. for the Warriors a little bit at that time, because offense was kind of just still not really in the groove clunky. Yet. Yeah, so I think that was just a really important moment for that like momentum shift for them.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah,
and I'd probably say Kyle Anderson as well. He even. I think he had the icing on the cake free throws at the end of the game, which yes, by yeah. the way, the free throws this season have kind of been not great. Pretty worrisome towards, you know, the very end of the game where Joe Mazzulla was having the Celtics, you know, force the Warriors win the game at the line.
Yeah.
And but they clutched up, like they were 12-13. As a team in the fourth quarter from the line. I think Draymond just missed one free throw, but he made the second one. So, you know, they had to make one to keep it like a two possession game or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they needed. But yeah, man, as well, I know Wiggins had two free throws that he made late in the fourth yeah. quarter as well. And from my experience, I feel like Wiggins loves to split free throws. So just getting that extra one, especially for how tight of a game it was, where it was just a one possession could change the yeah. lead right there. It was like, please hit both. And then he does. It's like, okay, I feel much better. And then, of course, Draymond, yeah, missing the one was a little bit of a stressor. But, yeah, we made it through. I do have to ask, just looking at the numbers and the shooting volume for these teams.
Yes.
Are the Celtics shooting too many threes? Is it becoming potentially a problem for them? And they're a 7-2 team.
Right.
They barely lost to the Warriors tonight.
Yeah, and that's what makes me say it's like borderline a problem. Like I think there's that age-old saying, like, you live by the three, die by the three. And of course. But if you die by the three, but you get your second chance rebounds, third chance rebounds, then
yeah,
then you know, I guess it's not the worst thing in the world. They definitely have the personnel where they can afford to take as many three.
Oh, yeah.
Might not necessarily be the most fun to watch from a viewer's perspective, but I mean they're 7-2, barely lost tonight. Definitely in a good place moving forward, probably still going to be the favorites to win it all again. But yeah, it's definitely in this new NBA where we're seeing like the increase of the 3-point shot. I feel like they're taking it to another level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're like 50 plus is like a normal night for them.
Yeah. Yeah, they're definitely a high volume 3-point shooting team. And I mean, yeah, we've seen it where they're trying to break the record for threes made in a game on opening night.
Yes.
And like that wasn't like a goal or intention that they set immediately. But then when they tied it, they then missed 12 threes in a row trying to break the record. And it's like,
yeah.
How, like,
I think that's the basketball gods coming down.
Like, does that represent like a type of success or a failure?
Yeah, I don't know. That's deep.
Yeah, I know. That's an entirely different conversation. But yeah, I just something, like, something to consider.
No, for sure. Because like, you can knock down as many threes as you want, but like, if you can't make that one three, whether it's to break the record or to win the game, like, is it all that good? Like, you can get better, higher percentage shots somewhere else. Yeah, they're an interesting team, man, the Celtics. And they're there without Jaylen Brown, which I feel like is, he's a huge part of that team. And
oh, absolutely. I mean, for how he's been playing thus far this season, how he played last year in the finals, like, he deserved MVP in the finals.
I agree. I totally agree.
He played incredibly well. And I mean, it's definitely noticed when you don't have his, I think, all around skill set.
Right.
That he can bring to an offense where I don't think there's so much of an intention for Tatum to use all of his skill sets in the way that I feel like Jaylen Brown is able to and sometimes emphasize to for their offense, because he brings a little bit more of that dynamicism for them in an offensive set, because he's just hyper skilled and he is a quality player.
Yeah, he kind of do it all.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to bring it back to the Warriors side, we've been gushing about the Celtics for a minute here. I am sad only 13 minutes for Moody.
Yes.
He played good during his time on the floor.
And I liked him with the starting lineup.
Oh, I love it. I love him seeing starting minutes, but of course he's always the first guy out.
Yeah.
I will say there was, I think, in the third quarter, a lineup that I wasn't too fond of. I think it had Steph, Gary Payton, I think Kuminga, Draymond, and TJD or Looney. And I wish that Moody had gotten back into that specific lineup just to kind of add another
shooting threat.
Yes, precisely. Yeah. It was like, this can't be the let's build this lineup just around get Steph open, get Steph a look, which is fine at some point, but like,
whatever, how good,
but yeah, everyone kind of knows what the play is going to be, and the Celtics have an extremely good defense, so it's like, maybe just create another threat. I understand Gary Payton adds a whole other layer with his cutting ability, which he showed all night. Like, he got behind the defense a couple times and it was just like, thank you for just getting that done. But yeah, I feel like there was a couple opportunities where Moody could have gotten more minutes. And I of course, as more Moody minutes demanders.
More Moody minutes.
Perfect. And you'll continue to hear it here. More minutes. Yeah, I thought Moody had a good game as well. 13 minutes, 3-5 from the field. It was just like his hustle, his overall hustle. Like, he goes hard for rebounds. He dives for loose balls. He does all the things that you can't really coach. Like, there's just have to have a desire to, like, play hard. And he plays hard. And I think with him taking threes, and like, he gets open, he knows where to be, when to be. So yeah, I was kind of surprised to see him only get 13 minutes, but again, I guess that's the issue you have when you have such a deep team like the Warriors do right now. Like, even Trayce Jackson-Davis, your starting center, played 16 minutes, and he had a good game too. Like, definitely became like a vertical threat towards the end, like catching lobs.
Oh yeah.
Just him
running to the rim.
Like, it seems like a lot of guys are kind of around that, like, 13 to like 18-minute threshold, and then you had Draymond with 30, Steph with 34.
Yeah.
And Wiggins with 31. And Buddy with 29. I mean, Buddy Hield, man. We could do a whole episode just about Buddy Hield this year so far.
Oh, yeah. It's hard
for this team.
Yeah. It's, again, I don't want to say that I'm surprised
right
by it, but like, I think because as Warriors fans, it's been this whole Klay Thompson is no longer with this team. Who is going to be that two guard next to Steph that can just knock down shots? And again, I don't want to say that I'm surprised that Buddy Hield is shooting at the level that he is and as efficient as he is, but like, it's everything and more that
yeah.
the Warriors needed for that replacement.
When you see it happen in like real time, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, like that fourth quarter corner three that he hits off of the Steph pass when Steph essentially gets double teamed.
Because
Tatum is looking off into nowhere, not tracking that Buddy Hield is just fading off into the corner and Steph can kick it out immediately. And open three, I mean, Buddy hits those. Seen that all year. Seen it most of his career. Like it's what he does. But yeah, Buddy Hield's been an incredible addition to this team.
Yeah, shout out Mike Dunleavy for making that happen.
Yeah,
getting D'Anthony Melton and Buddy Hield from the I think they were both part of the Klay Thompson signed and trade that involved like six teams.
Yeah, six teams or whatever to make that work.
And also, shout out to Jerry Stackhouse for because the defense this year looks great. Like they're playing nasty on defense.
It's disciplined, engaged. I mean, all the hustle plays that we've described between Moody, Gary Payton, I mean, Wiggins. Looney? Like, Looney. Oh, man. Looney's had some beautiful plays, man. Looney is a man reborn because he just gets to split minutes perfectly with TJD.
Yes.
And he finally has someone to be like, okay, you do the rebounding and the easy layups while I can take a breather. And yeah, he gets
in there and he scraps and
yeah, and he ends up in the closing lineup sometimes for
he does.
I mean, just because of his own discipline, his own experience in those scenarios and situations with the Warriors the past few years, like he's as reliable as it gets for what the Warriors want out of the center position. And yeah, the statue of Looney, I mean, it will be something. Maybe not as bad as Wade's, but we'll see. We'll see what that looks like. But
I'll be looking forward to that day.
Yeah, I mean, quickly to go back to Moody and I mean his play and engagement. I mean, you were kind of saying that he always has that like the engine's always on, it's running, and he's always ready to go. He's hustling.
Yeah,
it's something that I mean. To what we've also said earlier about Wiggins and like how engaged he's been, it's kind of been like that, like a mirrored thing between them, that like both of them have been 100% engaged. And for Moody, who, you know, gets a starting position but not like minutes,
right,
constantly engaged in his what were we saying, 13 minutes, like those minutes matter for him. He knows the role and has bought in 100% of what the Warriors have asked of him.
Yeah, and
that I mean, that's
13 impactful minutes too. It's not like 13 minutes, or it's like the minutes don't mean anything. It's like 13
he's
minutes
just getting and, cardio.
Yeah, like it's 13 minutes of real gameplay,
mm-hmm.
and he's showing up, and he's a pro's pro, and I feel like the whole team has kind of bought into what Steve Kerr and the coaching staff wants to do, and we're seeing it just kind of work out right now. But moving ahead, we got the Cavaliers on Friday, who are 9-0. Yeah, we kind of talked about the Cavaliers a little bit earlier, but yeah, it's going to be another test. This whole stretch of that we got coming up for the Warriors, they're all hard teams, but I think the Warriors can give any team a run for their money. Like, I feel pretty comfortable saying that after what I saw from tonight, even though the Celtics were shorthanded, the Warriors were as well. But the Cavaliers just present a different batch of problems than the Celtics do.
Yeah, they are a big team.
They are.
As we said, Okoro, Mobley, Jared Allen. I mean, Caris LeVert. They have a very dominating presence for the interior, and I mean a lot of great rim protection, and that's going to be interesting to look at for how. I mean, TJD is used, how Looney is used.
Right.
And honestly, what their effectiveness is going to be like against that, because a lot of the rim running and the passes to the interior, to those guys, like, are those lanes going to be open, and are they even going to try to risk, like, playing into that and trying to play around that? Scoring threats of Mitchell and Darius Garland, that's always going to be a factor. Because
yeah,
those guys have been
two-headed lethal. Monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough game. And then, of course, they are led by head coach Kenny Atkinson, former Golden State Warriors assistant. So it's nice to see their old friend at a new gig and just absolutely killing it. But it's going to be a tough one. Curious to see how Jonathan Kuminga plays in this matchup, especially given the size advantage that the Cavaliers have. Like, are those lanes for him going to be open? But yeah, it's we'll see. And then after that, the Warriors will take on the Oklahoma City Thunder, who let's get a quick check up on that game.
Oh yeah, quick
live update. Oklahoma City Thunder are down 108 to 109 against the Denver Nuggets with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. But I mean, the Thunder, they're really, really good. They were really, really good last year. They were a one seed, and they added Alex Caruso and Isaiah Hartenstein, who is hurt. But like, yeah, you added Caruso for free.
That's just wild.
That's so wild. Like the rich get richer, and then they got a plethora of like first round picks, and the way that team, like, I know in like, was it like 2015 or not 15, but like the post KD Russell Westbrook era Oklahoma City Thunders, where they were just purposely tanking, we're starting to see those picks now pan out. And then of course they made that trade for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the Paul George trade, which turned everything around.
What a haul for them.
Seriously.
What an incredible return on, I'm going to do this, value. Paul George. Yeah. I don't know about that. That's a whole other thing we don't have to get into, but yeah, I mean, the Thunder they built a monster with all of their draft picks, all of their acquisitions. Yeah, I mean, the second that they bring in the extra depth of Isaiah Hartenstein at center, that will be a whole other problem to deal with for other teams. Because, I mean, Chet is already such a unique threat in the same kind of threshold that is Wemby as a threat, with just the skills and the ability to make outside shots, like,
and be able to put the ball on the floor, and it's pretty crazy.
Sunday night will be quite a game to watch between Warriors Thunder. I want to say that this is, between the next two games, the more winnable of the two, just given the full roster consideration. And again, that's just because I'm very afraid of the Cavaliers' size in the interior. But we'll see what that game's like. But I mean, all of last year, all of the matchups with the Thunder were incredible must-watch games. So I'm sure that just like the Celtics game, this is going to be another intense kind of like mutually agreed upon. I mean, not even unspoken at this point, because Draymond said a lot of things about their post-game barking. So there's already Draymond stirring the pot before the matchup.
Yeah. No shortage of entertainment in the NBA.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's gonna be a great game. Surprise, that's not a nationally broadcast game.
Oh, is it not?
It is not. But their next nationally broadcast game will be on Tuesday, November 12th, when the Dallas Mavericks come to Chase Center. Klay Thompson coming back to the Bay. And that's another hard game too. The Mavericks are a good team. And then you got the Grizzlies and Clippers.
Oh, Grizzlies, yeah.
Yeah, Grizzlies, I don't know what I think about the Grizzlies yet. They just beat the Lakers. The Lakers were shorthanded, no Anthony Davis. I don't know. I we'll find out soon, but
I just realized that the game's happening on Tuesday, November 12th. Those are the NBA Cup group stage games. So there's other implications with these.
Yes, I'll have to refresh my memory of what the NBA
the group Cup stage is.
Yeah.
There's other implications, though, aside from records. There's something to take from that, but yeah, we will we'll see. I mean, that's just going to be such an interesting game, having Klay Thompson back. And yeah, it'll be a bittersweet game. And I mean, the Mavericks are good. That is a great roster, so that should be another exciting game to watch. I do want to check the Eastern Conference standings right now, just maybe to continue a little bit of a we'll call it a bit for right now, because it's so early and we don't want to predict the future right now. But the Bucks, the Bucks are at the bottom of the Eastern Conference currently, a 1-6.
That's terrible. Where are the Pistons at?
The Pistons are 12. They're 3-6.
Ooh.
The Pistons. Beating the Lakers recently as well.
That's a tough loss.
Yeah. I mean, the 76ers are also just above the Bucks at 14, 1-5. And I know they're dealing with their own health issues and getting their roster kind of back on the floor together. So
yeah,
I kind of understand that. But the Bucks, you know, they have Dame and Giannis playing.
That's a red flag, like immediate red flag.
Yeah. And I would say that they are missing, you know, a bit of their depth, but it's still scary to watch a team with this much talent just be in free fall right now.
Yeah, they're definitely, it seems like they're spiraling right now, and I don't really know what else to say. Like, you feel like if you got Dame and Giannis, like, they'll give you a chance to win a game.
Yeah, you should have a chance. And I mean, just to look forward at their schedule, so they're currently 1-6. They play the Jazz tomorrow. Conceptually, that should be an easy game, right?
Right.
That should be a winnable game. Let's say they win the game. Their next matchup is the Knicks.
That's a hard game.
That's what we'd call a difficult game. The Knicks are a very good roster. They've been playing better. So that's something to consider. And then their next game after that is against the Celtics.
Back-to-back, tough games.
So, yeah, the Bucks are going to need to start.
You got to start winning.
At least. And again,
I think the schedule gets a little easier after that. They play the Raptors, the Pistons, who, Pistons just beat the Lakers. They It's the NBA. Anybody can beat anybody any given night.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sports. But yeah, they got the Raptors, the Pistons, the Hornets, Rockets, who are a good team. I'll put them in the good team category. Then the Bulls, who they lost by 11 earlier in the season. Yeah, I don't know what I think about the Bucks. I don't think they're very good right now. Maybe it's a coaching thing. Maybe it's deeper than that.
Yeah, I worry with how early the narratives have been spun on all the little news feeds of, oh, if the season doesn't go well, Giannis gets traded, and then people are analyzing Dame's his scoring analytics and problems with that.
I feel like that does something to a team.
Like, I mean, look at
having that chatter around, like, it's just not good.
Look at the Warriors last year. They had so much chatter about them last year. So much talk.
Too much chatter.
Endless. The spotlight's on them because they're a big brand and a big part of the NBA and the culture right now. But then when all of it is in this kind of negative light, and then, oh, there's a Kuminga issue with his role at the time.
Yeah.
And Klay Thompson doesn't want to come off the bench, and he's looking at his contract situation. And then, oh, we're just playing with Chris Paul on the team now, and we have to figure out if that is something that works. And there was just so much going on with, of course, Draymond and Jordan Poole, and just that whole
Rudy Gobert suspensions, and
and Draymond getting kicked out every other game, and him missing, I think, 23 games last year off of suspensions or otherwise,
a good chunk of games.
Like that type of narrative and discussion happening around you all the time, as you said, that has to have an impact on, I mean, the locker room, and then you're just not winning games. Like, the Warriors started off well last year when they were all healthy, and they started off at a pace where people were like, oh, they're going to be a competitor. You know, like they're going to be up there with the rest of these elite Western Conference teams. And then they completely fell apart and started losing every game on the road, which was kind of hard to watch.
They were losing games at home. And then they were losing games that they were leading by like 30 plus or, you know, like 20 plus. And
I think it was like, it was either like 14 or 16 games that they lost where they were leading by at least 12 or 13 points.
Yeah. It's like, it was so,
unbelievable just collapses that we had to watch. And I mean, some of them were just like last second game winner buzzer beater shots where it was just like, okay.
The Chet one comes to mind immediately.
Jokic hit one too at half court.
Yeah.
That was a brutal one.
The heave.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that sucked.
And I mean, I will say the Warriors, for all the chatter and all the demand of like, oh, you should just trade Kuminga, trade Podziemski, and trade so-and-so, get rid of Clay. Like, they kind of kept a level head through it of just like, we're just going to ride this out and not make a dramatic, blow-it-all-up kind of trade. I am curious to see what the Bucks do with the situation. Because I feel like with how Giannis has treated his interest in acquiring and trading players, that if he just demands a trade because he doesn't think that the team is doing well, it's not the front office saying, oh, we are going to move you. It's Giannis wanting to be traded. I think the front office might actually consider that.
Yeah. And especially for a guy he's been so loyal to that franchise and to the city that like, you'd hope that they would do right by him and, you know, like meet his request or meet his demands. I feel like that's the right thing to do for your franchise player who brought you a championship, even if it is like not what you want to do, because he is still in his prime. And
oh, yeah.
any team that acquires Giannis gets better instantly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm very interested to see how the Bucks kind of what they do moving forward. Like, obviously they got to start winning games, and then a lot of the chatter kind of quiets down.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't win games, what are you going to do? You can't just keep firing coaches.
Yeah. There's going to be a decision, especially with more losses piling up. There's going to be a decision that's demanded much sooner rather than later. And yeah. I was considering that they would kick the can down the road a little bit, but bottom of the East, 1-6.
Not good. That's kind of hard to come back from, especially early on. Like,
yeah.
Especially when you got your, I mean, the East is interesting, man. Cause like we got the Cavs at 9-0, Celtics at 7-2. Then after that is a huge drop off where we got like the Heat at 3-3, Pacers at 4-4, Nets at 4-4. Like, the East does not look very good right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying that we have, for the West, you have to go down to the Clippers, who are 11th in the standings, to see a losing record, and then in the East, you have to go to 6.
That is a with the losing playoff record. Team that you avoid the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
And then in the West, like, you're just fighting for your life, like,
yeah,
every loss could mean so much, like, down the line. Which, like, by the way, I think the Suns right now, I think I'm a believer in the Suns right now.
Yeah, you're buying in.
I'm buying in, but I'm a Kevin Durant fan, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, as am I. Let's see. Oh, the Suns, they played tonight against the Heat. Beat him by 3. Oh,
interesting.
Nurkic with 20 points and 18 rebounds.
God damn. Have a night.
Wow.
But yeah, the Suns are 6-1. They're right there with the Warriors in the one loss category. Thunder undefeated. Or are they? Let's check back in. Oh, the Thunder just lost. 122-124, breaking news.
Uh-oh. The Warriors, who have a better in-conference record, does that make them
first
with updated standings first in the West?
Yeah.
But... it's not updated. Show me what I want to see. I don't know when it's going to update.
But I think you're right, though, because they have 5 wins in the conference. Thunder have 4. I think that would, right?
Which I guess are the Nuggets in their division?
Yes. I believe they're in the same division as the Blazers. And it's a whole weird division. I forget. It's not the Pacific division, but
it's a Western division or something.
Yeah, hold on. Let's get to the bottom of this.
Do some research.
Yeah. All right. Why is this so hard to find?
Oh. I found it.
All right, what do we got?
So they are in the Northwest Division. The Nuggets, the Timberwolves, the Thunder, Blazers, and the Jazz.
Okay. That makes sense. I mean, Minnesota's kind of way out there, but the rest of the teams kind of make sense.
Yeah, generally.
So no, like the Pacific, it's like the Warriors, the Lakers, Clippers, Kings, and the Suns.
Hmm.
Yeah, kind of, you know, that makes, you know, the West Coast. All right. And then you got the, then there's another division, but it's like the Texas teams.
Yeah, it's the Southwest Division. Mavericks, Rockets, Grizzlies, Pelicans, Spurs.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Thunder, yeah, their conference with the Nuggets, that loss, that dropped them to 4-1 in conference. So yeah, I think the Warriors would end up taking first in the standings after that gets recorded, and I desperately just want to see that. I just want it to update. Please, no. It's not going to give it to me. I won't get that satisfaction tonight. I'll look at it tomorrow.
Yeah. We'll take it. As of now, unofficially, the Warriors are in first place. Great win tonight in Boston. And we got some challenging games moving forward, but at least we can sleep easy tonight and wait for our standings to refresh to see where we're currently at. But
yeah.
I think that's going to wrap things up for us tonight. Thank you all for listening, as always. Have a great rest of your evening and stay tuned for the next one.
Good night. See you the next time.